Continuing with Keith Lowe's Savage Continent, Europe in the Aftermath of World War II. Still with chapter 17, The Jewish Flight. The Flight. The reaction to the anti-Semitic violence in Eastern Europe was dramatic. Many survivors who'd gone back to Poland after the war now returned to Germany on the grounds that it was safer in the country that had originally persecuted them than it was at home. The stories they told dissuaded others from making the same journey. "Whatever you do," they said, "don't go back to Poland," was the advice given to Michael Etkind. "The Poles are killing all the Jews returning from the camps." Harry Balsam was told the same thing. They said that we must be mad to want to go back, as they were still killing Jews in Poland. They told us the Poles were doing what the Germans could not manage, and that they'd been lucky to come out alive, unquote. As early as October 1945, Joseph Levine of the Joint Distribution Committee was writing to New York that, quote, "everyone reports murder and pillage by the Poles, and that all the Jews want to get out of Poland," unquote. Fortunately for many Polish Jews, and indeed Jews from several other countries in Eastern Europe, an escape route had been set up for them. In the aftermath of the war, groups of determined Jews had set up an organization called Bricha, Flight, which had begun to secure a whole series of safe houses, methods of transport, and unofficial border crossing points in Poland, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, and Romania. At first, they'd been a very clandestine organization, smuggling truckloads of Jews across borders by bribing guards with money and alcohol. But by 1946, they had attained a semi-official status among the governments of Eastern Europe. In May that year, the Prime Minister of Poland, Edward Osobka Morawski, stated openly that his government would not stand in the way of Jews who wished to immigrate to Palestine, an assertion he repeated after the Kielce pogrom. In the aftermath of the pogrom, a former border crossing point was negotiated between one of the commanders of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, Jacek Antek Zuckerman, and the Polish Defense Minister Marian Spychalski. Other prominent people associated with Bricha organized similar border crossings with the Hungarians, the Romanians, and the American authorities in Germany, and the Czechs agreed to supply special trains for the transport of Jewish refugees across the country. The numbers of Jews fleeing westwards were significant, but they increased dramatically in the aftermath of the Kielce pogrom. In May 1946, Bricha organized the flight of 3,502 people from Poland. This rose to approximately 8,000 in June. But in July, after the pogrom, the figures more than doubled to 19,000, and then almost doubled again to 35,346 in August, before falling back to 12,379 in September. These figures do not include the 10 to 20,000 who fled Poland by other means, including putting themselves in the hands of private speculators and smugglers. In addition, the Joint Distribution Committee in Bratislava reported that some 14,000 Hungarian Jews had fled through Czechoslovakia in the 3 months after Kielce. In total, between 90,000 and 95,000 Jewish refugees are thought to have fled from Eastern Europe in July, August, and September 1946. The total number of Jews who fled west in the 2 years after the end of the war is probably in the region of 200,000 from Poland, 18,000 from Hungary, 19,000 from Romania, and perhaps a further 18,000 from Czechoslovakia, although most of this last group were forced out not because they were Jewish, but because the Czechs considered them German. When one also factors in the 40,000 or so Jews who fled the same countries in the years 1948 to 50, we reach a grand total of almost 300,000 people who were forced to leave their countries because of anti-Semitic persecution. This is, if anything, a slightly conservative estimate. And my interjection, a world was being crafted. Do any doubt it? Doubt the existence of those quiet conferences? Deciding how to repackage us discreetly, much more neatly, much less threatening than had been our budding unity? Do any doubt the accelerating machine called total privatization of everything has called the question? The question we must successfully confront and overcome the dark legacy of mutual mistrust that's been planted in our midst by power. Do any doubt? We're doing it. We are confronting and overcoming that dark legacy.